98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Yeah, now we're exactly 40 days from the start of the Rugby World Cup in Japan, and yesterday Ireland played their first warm-up match against Italy at the Aviva Stadium, and 98 FM's Will O'Callaghan was there to watch them win the game.
Ireland 29, Italy 10. Ireland's World Cup warm-up campaign is off to a winning start. Joe Schmidt's side ran in 5 tries in defeating Italy by a comfortable 19 points here at the Aviva Stadium in the first of their Guinness Series encounters. Though there'll be concern for out-half Joey Carberry, who limped off to a medical cart after taking a knock to his ankle 9 minutes into the second half. Wings Andrew Conway, who was named man of the match, and Dave Carney both crossed the whitewash for the hosts in the opening 40 minutes, with Carberry, who ended the game with 9 points, also scoring a try after a lovely quick offload pass from centre Chris Farrell. The Azzurri grabbed 2 tries of their own in the first half, Maxine Mbanda powering over after a series of Italian penalties in the 12th minute, and number 10 Carlo Canna chasing down a kick behind the Irish defence, a sloppy try conceded, which won't escape the analysis of coach Andy Farrell. Having led by 19 points to 10 at the interval, Ireland stretched their advantage early in the second half, with Ulster number 8 Jordy Murphy going over for his third international try. Kieran Marmion, on as a second half sub, got in on the act just after the hour, going over for a try after he blocked down a Colin Brawley clearance. Munster duo John Klein and Mike Haley both earned their first Ireland caps, while the coaching team will be hoping that Carberry's injury is not too serious, just 41 days before the start of the World Cup. Tougher tests await, with England next up at Twickenham on Saturday, August 24th, ahead of back-to-back clashes with the world's new number one, Wales. Full-time here at the Aviva Stadium, Ireland 29, Italy 10.
Yeah, the main theme from that report was that ankle injury to Munster and Ireland man Joey Carberry. So we'll ask the Ireland head coach, Joe Schmidt, for an update.
The good news is, Joey, there's no fracture. It's a bit puffy on the inside of his left ankle. We're going to give that 24 to 48 hours just for the swelling to go down. And if we need to get a picture of it, we will. Obviously, he's had an x-ray and been cleared of a fracture. So that's the good news on Joey. We don't have anyone else who's of major concern. First game of the season. There's a few lung injuries. Guys who couldn't get enough oxygen in. And one particularly that Reece suffered when he got hit quite hard after giving a scoring pass that he didn't really get a good look at, but Joey Carberry certainly enjoyed the end of it. So, you know, we're hopefully relatively unscathed, but Joey obviously will take 24 to 48 hours to know for sure.
Yeah, hopefully Joey Carberry will be okay. If not, it might open the door for Leinster's Ross Byrne to go to the World Cup as backup to Johnny Sexton. Let's hear the views now of Ireland's Andrew Porter.
Yeah, I think it's great to start off the season with a win like that, and especially the first game of the season. So it's obviously there's going to be things aren't going to always go to plan and stuff like that, but that's, I think we worked around that and kind of came out with a good win, especially two guys making their debuts. It was great like that, so it was great to get them some game time as well, and I think they acquitted themselves really well on the occasion. So
I'm sure as players, given you've effectively come through a couple of months of pre-season here, you must be happy just to get back out and play a game again.
Yeah, of course. Like, we've been looking forward to this since the first week of pre-season. So, yeah, it's great to be able to get back and kind of lay our marker down and kind of set the bar and then keep pushing forward over the next few weeks.
Jordy was talking during the week about just the competition in camp. Does the fact two guys get cut last week, does that maybe ramp up the expectation for everyone? They know there's probably more cuts coming next week.
Yeah, obviously, I think there's 43 in the squad or something at the moment, and it has to be cut to 31 or 32. So it's the competition's just, it's great, like, because it pushes everyone, pushes yourself as well. So I don't think anyone's really safe at the moment. So it's just like it pushes standards and stuff like that. So
now Mike Halley made his debut off the bench for Ireland, and he's been telling Will about that debut and the importance of impressing in the team as opposed to as an individual.
Yes and no. It's more, you know, it's a team game, and at the end of the day, Ireland's one of the best teams in the world. So I'd probably be more detrimental to myself if I went out there and tried to do some individual genius. Whereas if I actually slot into what the team does and the team philosophy, that would be better for me. So that was just the key to it. I didn't want to do, you know, I didn't want to overthink anything. I just wanted to go out there and just do what comes natural to me, and, you know, just try and enjoy the game.
Andy Farrell was saying that was kind of the message in camp all week. He said cohesion, I think, was the buzzword, that nobody go out there to try and do something for themselves. It was about a team performance today.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're preparing for a World Cup, and the biggest thing about a World Cup is it's a long campaign, and you need to be, you know, bonded together, and, you know, you need to be, you know, really, like you said, cohesive. So that is something that he's been driving, and, you know, we've been driving as a group all week, and yeah, coming off the bench, that's all you want to do, slot into what the team's doing and make sure that everything you do is for the betterment of the team.
I suppose as the weeks tick down, though, cuts are made and you have to make sure you do impress at this time.
Yeah, well, you just got to kind of do what you can do. That's out of your, well, that's out of my control and the players' controls. You know, that's up to the coach and management to make their decisions, and we just do what we do.
As a team performance, there's some rustiness out there, some combinations maybe not familiar with each other. Is that just the nature of playing a pre-season game?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a number of weeks since probably a lot of lads have played a game. There's been a lot of, you know, hard training weeks. I think a lot of lads were happy to be out there and actually playing around, but there's always going to be mistakes. You know, it's a little bit wet out there, a bit greasy. You know, in Italy we're there and we're looking to run the ball and counter off turnovers. So it was a little bit frantic at times. But yeah, that sometimes games just play out like that.
Now, former Leinster and Ireland man Andy Dunn watched the game for us yesterday, and he began his review of it with Will by talking about that injury to Joey Carberry.
Yeah, I think very disappointing for Joey. It looks like very worrying for Ireland. His leg wasn't stabilised on the field, for example, which would be typical with a leg break or a leg fracture. He wasn't putting any weight through the leg, but it did look like it could be a knee ligament or ankle ligament injury, which unfortunately with healing times, it probably will be touch and go whether he can make that flight.
Particularly disappointing because he'd had a good first half as well. He had 9 points on the board, scored that try after that lovely offload from Chris Farrell as well.
Yeah, he seemed to add a lot of variation into how Ireland got out of their own territory. He had variation in his kicking game, he distributed the ball well, and he finished off a very, very nice try that was thanks to other work from the likes of Chris Farrell. So he's probably pretty crestfallen down the changing rooms. He did put in a very good 55-60 minutes there before the injury. Let's all have our fingers crossed and hope he comes through.
Well, look, aside from that, there's not a huge amount to talk about really, because this was pretty routine, wasn't it? I mean, 5 tries were scored, but Italy didn't offer a whole lot.
No, Italy were poor and probably predictably so too. Ireland weren't hugely better, but again there's a multitude of new combinations. There's players coming in from a long pre-season, heavy legs, sore muscles, and probably mentally not quite sharp yet, probably also in terms of motivation levels certainly be high, but arousal levels this early on in the year, and a kind of a half full stadium, it doesn't quite whet the appetite maybe as it should sometimes.
I suppose with cuts due to be made, it's kind of a training week now ahead of going to England on Saturday week. It has to keep everyone on their toes as well, doesn't it? Because Dolan played 3 games during the Six Nations, still gets dropped off the squad. Nobody's particularly safe here.
Yeah, I would have thought behind closed doors there's probably north of 25, 26 guys who'd be very, very assured of their place on the squad. But within the remaining 4 to 5 selection slots, there's probably 15 guys having sleepless nights regularly. So it's certainly within the normal characteristics of the Irish management squad not to make players feel comfortable. And I think that's to be applauded. I don't think a squad that, you know, feels very, very comfortable about selection is ever a very successful squad. I think top teams across sports at all levels, from Kilkenny in hurling to the current Dubs football team to Manchester City, are all, you know, teams that, you know, have very, very strong squads, and even top marquee players are under threat for their position. So I think within the Irish setup, it's something that is a strong point, and certainly that's developed in the last 4 years.
I know you were concerned about the Irish game plan when we spoke in Cardiff after the Six Nations. Do you put today and maybe some of the kind of discontinuity about the performance, do you put that purely down to pre-season, or is this a continuation on of what we saw 6 months ago?
No, I think there's a natural lack of continuity in play today that is predictable and normal and perfectly acceptable. A number of new players in different combinations, and nobody's played any rugby at a competitive level for over 2 months. So in terms of the overall standard of play, it's not something I would read into. It's not something I would criticise in any way today. We would hopefully see over the remaining 3 games maybe a little more fluidity in our play and in our attack. There were some troubling early periods in terms of our defence, but again, I would put that down to ring rust. So hopefully, yeah, I mean, based on our last real competitive outing against Wales, hopefully we'll have put it to bed, forgotten about it, all got over it, had a rest, and it would be nice to see some nice attacking creative rugby in the next few weeks.
Because realistically, the standard ups quite a bit now to go to Twickenham and now to play the world's number one back-to-back Wales ahead of going to Japan as well on the back of New Zealand's hammering that they got from Australia today.
Yeah, it's for all intents and purposes look like it's going to be a World Cup that is going to have multiple upsets. I think there's certainly no obvious outright winner at the moment. New Zealand would have been odds on in the last World Cup, but a record defeat in terms of the scoreline deficit and the actual aggregate points total. They've never conceded 47 points in a rugby international in their entire history until this morning, so no doubt there will be an element of crisis in the New Zealand national psyche on the back of this morning. But I think it would be a disservice to Australia to say New Zealand underperformed. I thought Australia were outstanding. So Australia looking very, very strong, England looking strong, Wales at number one, South Africa looking ominous, New Zealand wounded. It's certainly going to be a World Cup that will keep everyone on their toes, not to mention Ireland looking into that. And with 3 weeks to go, I think we'll be quietly hopeful, but it's no harm not being in that top two, top three in terms of bookies.
Yeah, that's former Leinster and Ireland man Andy Dunn speaking to 98FM's Will O'Callaghan at the Aviva Stadium yesterday after Ireland's win over Italy. And Shane Byrne will be with us for the next few weeks and months leading into and during the Rugby World Cup, so we're looking forward to welcoming Shane back to the show very soon.
98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98FM.